Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to the Fish Nerds.
The show about fish, fishing, and eating fish.
That's always interesting.
Usually funny.
And mostly true. I'm Amazing James.
And I'm Fish Guy Josh.
And we are Effin' West.
And now, here are the nerds.
I'm Clay.
And I'm Fish Guy Josh, one half of Effin' West, and I drive a freaking aquarium.
Drive a freaking aquarium. Freaking A, man. I love that you drive an aquarium.
It's a great tagline on my Instagram page.
I bet it is. I know every time I see the picture of your mobile fish exhibit, I think we need one on the East Coast.
Oh, I hear you. It's a really awesome program. I love doing it. It's my job is James does a lot with the entire program of mobile education here at the Park District, but I basically focus on collecting fish like baseball cards and driving them around to schools. It's pretty fantastic.
It really is fantastic. So just kind of to refer back, for those who don't know, Fish Guy Josh works at, where do you work? East Bay Regional Park District?
I also work for East Bay Regional Park District, and my supervisor is the Amazing James.
The Amazing James, who wants desperately to be called Ranger James, but he will never get it. You don't pick your own name in this business.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if you ever see him, no matter what, no matter how he's dressed, the Amazing James. and you guys are part of our Fish Nerds team, the Effin' West. I was doing some math, Josh. We have a team now of 18 people working on the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, all part of the 18. Part of the secret society of Fish Nerds, which a very elite few people get to be part of.
I'm very proud.
You should be. Well, hey, we're here to talk about fish and fishing and eating fish and all things fish. And you've recently had a terrible carp fishing incident. Do you want to share that with us?
Oh my gosh. It was I'm dubbing it the best worst fishing day ever.
Carpageddon.
the quick backstory is that earlier this year, I befriended a new fishing buddy and he happens to be from England. So
right.
I've really been getting,
by the way. I'm going to warn you against making friends from England. If you can avoid it at all costs, that's my recommendation.
Yeah, this might be my one and only one.
I'll tell you off air sometime about how making friends in England got me in jail once. So that's.
I wouldn't be surprised. I watch exactly how much I do with this guy, to be perfectly honest.
Very careful.
he had been sort of showing me a lot of the European techniques for carp fishing. I've really been getting into it, and that's sort of been one of my fishing quests this year.
European technique is a lot of sleeping, right? I've seen the tents they sell. These big, giant tents online.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It's a lot of waiting.
It looks like camping.
Yeah. But a lot of, a lot of the anglers, fish nerds will know it's, using the hair rigs, bolt rigs, waggle fishing with those weird kind of long floats that they like to use. Yep. It's been a lot of fun.
Do you use the method at all?
Yeah, I do use a method weight I've been messing around with. All kind of stuff he's been showing me. It's been really fun to kind of collect some new gear and learn basically like a whole new type of fishing. It's a little boring sometimes because you really have to wait a while for carp, but once it's on and you have the carp on the line, it's great.
You know, carp fishing would be a great thing to do while podcasting.
Oh,
so while you're waiting to fish, you just fiddle around with technology. It's an excellent idea. I think you need to start up a carp fishing podcast.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
A carp waiting podcast.
A carp cast?
Could call it Waiting for Carp.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, so I've been kind of getting the carp fishing down at one of my local reservoirs here, and another reservoir is celebrating its 50th anniversary, so they're doing a carp derby to celebrate. There's some really cool prizes, so I thought, all right, I'm going to definitely try my hand at fishing for carp here. And I've struck out a couple times.
Now, is this is this common carp or grass carp or Asian carp? What is it you're fishing for?
This is just commons. That's all we really have here, save for like a few mirror carp, which are just commons with a scale mutation.
Right. Just really cool looking commons.
This lake's loaded with some big ones. And I showed up last night, set my spot up. It was perfect. I got there right around. I was a little late. I wanted to be there a little earlier, but I noticed carp tailing, popping out of the water. I thought, oh, this is perfect. Like, I really think I might land a carp for the derby here. And I got gear set up. I got both lines in the water, and just a little while later, boom, one of my lines starts screaming. Grab it, and I can feel right away it's a catfish. Just fishing for carp a lot lately, I really get the feel of the two different fish on the line. So I reel that one in, and as soon as I'm about to take out the hook, I'm fishing two rods, so my other rod starts winding too.
Oh, I'd be so and, happy. I would just cry right there.
Yep. I was very excited. So I reel that one in. I have to like throw the other channel cat into the bushes nearby so it doesn't flop back in the water.
Right.
And reel in the other fish, and I feel that it's another catfish. And so I get him in, unhook both fish, throw him back in the water. Set my lines back up again, and this time around, one of the lines starts winding again. I'm like, all right, another fish. I grab it instantly. I can feel the bounce. I just know it's another channel cat. But while I'm about halfway into landing the fish, the other rod goes off.
God.
And so now I have one rod between my thighs, uh-huh, holding the first fish, which I know is a catfish, and I have my second rod now, and I'm reeling that one in, and I can feel that it's a catfish too, so I have to manage to land both fish at the same time.
Are you by yourself?
And this, yeah, I'm totally by myself. I had invited James. I didn't know if he was going to show, and he had called and said he wasn't going to make it. So I'm there like trying to land two fish at the same time with two rods. It was hilarious. But like you said, I was just having a ball.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect.
And there was one point where right after that, I threw my first line, got my line. Because with the hair rigs for the carp and using the baiting needle to put the corn on, it's kind of a hassle, so it takes a little while.
Yeah, let me just, for those who don't know what a hair rig is, it's like a number six octopus hook with a fishing string coming off it where you string a couple kernels of corn above the hook. So the hook doesn't have any bait on it at all, but there's a piece of string dangling off the end of the hook with bait. Is that right?
Yeah, the theory is that the carp take in the bait and don't initially sense the hook.
Yeah, they say carp are pretty hook bait. Shy, right?
Yeah. And then the second benefit to the hair rig is that once the carp do feel your weight on the line and make a break for it, having the hook set back behind the bait makes the hooking really easy. So it goes in deep, but right there on the edge of the mouth. So it's removable, and it doesn't harm the fish, because in England, they're really all about preserving the carp that they catch, and they don't want a foul hook or anything.
Right. Now, have you ever caught a hook using that method?
Caught a hook using that method?
Caught a carp. I'm drinking whiskey tonight, in case you're curious.
I have caught several carp on the hair rigs, and now obviously several channel cats on the hair rigs, and it does exactly what they say it does as far as hooking position. It's amazing. It's just right there on the edge of the lip every single time. I was really kind of doubting how well this would work for me, but it was pretty amazing to see it in action.
That's fantastic. So you caught all these big channel cats.
Like, yeah, there was a point where I threw my rod out, and with the bolt rig I was using, you throw the line out, you get tension on it, and then you set your line to free spool so that if a big carp takes it off the rod holder, you don't lose your line. It took about 3 seconds to from when the lure hit the ground or hit the water, I hit it and hit the free spool, and I instantly had another catfish on there. I think I ended up getting 10 fish in a little over 2 hours.
Are you kidding? I would just not even care about carp one bit anymore.
Well, the problem is you only win the trawling motor prize if if you turn into carp. Well, so
you're not gonna win the prize anyway.
I was frustrated about that.
Yeah.
I was frustrated about that, but it was some of the best fishing I've had in a long time. It was amazing. And it was perfect because it really got me geared up because I'm going to go to Lake Cuyamaca in San Diego this weekend. I'm going to take a 4-day weekend and we're just going fish for big, they have really big brown bullheads there.
Mm.
So, you know, it kind of got me warmed up and got my blood flowing. So I'm ready to hit the water this weekend and, I guess continue my catfishing.
Well, that's fine.
Worry about the carp when I get back.
That's really cool. Now I've done all those carp techniques, the method, the hair rigs, no luck whatsoever. None. I went out with carp people like who are just expert carp fishermen and nothing. And we went where carp lived.
I initially went carp fishing. I was looking for tench, which I've posted on my Instagram page before. And that's another European fish, kind of carp-like. And there's a lake near here. It's about an hour's drive that has some in it. And I went by myself and I caught one after hours of fishing. But when I took my English friend with me and he showed me all these methods, I walked away with 5 versus my 1. So ever since then, I've definitely paid attention to what he said. And once I really started learning about the carp movement and location, that's when like things really paid off. Cause I hear you. Initially I was just striking out. And then when I finally had a good day and saw that it wasn't the gear, it was my like location, then it really started paying off for me.
Well, it's almost always location. If the fish are there, you're probably going to catch them. Now, so I did all these techniques stuff, same as you. And I went with an expert and then I went by myself. And I set up, all I had was a number 6 octopus hook on a trout rod.
Yeah.
That's it. And a ball and 1 slice of Wonder Bread. And I balled it up with some vanilla extract in it and smushed it on a hook, threw it in the water. And then 5 minutes later, I had a 11-pound carp.
Nice.
And that was it. I caught on 6-pound test, took my pictures. We had to eat the carp because it's part of our quest. And that was
Oh, okay.
It. Yeah. Easy. And by the way, I've never caught another carp. This is my only one ever.
I'm definitely going to try that. That's another method that my English buddy told me with the bread just on the hook.
Oh, yeah. It works.
And,
like really, really doughy white bread.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try that because I saw the carp popping up out the water. And I think if I just kind of sneak over there and use my long carp rod to throw that bread right by him, I think I can grab him. So.
Yeah. Now, I have a friend who fishes for carp and he uses his name is Dominic. And he uses corn that he infuses with pineapple vodka. So he does the hair rig on the end of a method. A method is a flat sinker with chum around it. And a hair rig on the end of that with infused corn. And that's his carp technique. He swears that's the best.
Yeah, my chum lately, you're not supposed to chum in California, so you use a PVA bag or a method, and you have to make sure that the hook is attached to the dough ball.
No way.
So that you're not technically chumming, you're hooked into the bait.
Wow.
And so instead of the flat method, I have one that's got a lot of grooves in it, so it holds the pack bait well. And the one that I love using because it doesn't make my hands stink, really, it smells awesome, is I do panko crust and powdered strawberry jello.
I've heard about that.
And then I drain 2 cans of, you know, chickpeas or corn or whatever. Because if you leave it with the water, it's too wet. But you just pour that in and mix it all together, and it makes this awesome strawberry pack bait that doesn't stain your hands. It crumbles right off. It's so, I love using that stuff.
Can you send me that recipe? I'll put that up at fishnerds.com with the show notes of this show, and people can go and grab
okay.
it and make it. and then they can report back. And I'm going carp fishing this weekend on Saturday. I may try that. But I'm cool. I'm not going to hair rig. I can't, too much effort.
It is. It's a lot of effort.
It's a lot of effort. But hey, if it works, it works, and that's what we go for. And I'm glad we had this talk because I got some recent feedback on the podcast that people aren't learning anything from us anymore about how to fish.
Ah.
So there's something you can take with you, so suck on that.
Here we go.
Yeah. Haters. That's really good. Up next, we have Jack Danos. Jack Danos is inventor of the fish call. Have you heard of this thing?
I have heard of it, mostly through you.
Yeah,
I'm excited to hear.
He's from Louisiana. He's practically a cousin.
Practically, of course.
I mean, everyone in Louisiana is cousins, right?
I think that's Alabama, maybe.
Alabama, for sure, yeah. I checked our downloads and see where people are listening from, and nobody in Alabama listens to our show, so we can make fun of that state at will for now.
All right.
As soon as they start, we're gonna tone it down a little bit. But anyway,
zip it.
Jack is from the fish call. He's a teenager, and he was on the show last year, kind of presenting it with
Professor,
and he had a successful campaign, and he won. And he this past Friday night was on Shark Tank.
Sweet.
And so we're going to hear all about his adventures in Shark Tank. I'm not going to push too much into the fish call and what it is and what it does because we already have that show. And you can go to fishnerds.com and listen to that show whenever you want to. But I really want to hear about his adventures in Shark Tank. How do you get on Shark Tank and what happened? So,
Definitely. We have the product. Let's hear the story.
Hear the story. And plus, you know, next on Shark Tank should be the Fish Nerds podcast, which they would never invest in because I've already done it and it's a loser. So here's Jack Danos. We're hanging out here with Jack Danos, creator, inventor of the fish call, now by Tactibite. We're going to find out what that means in a second. Jack was on the show last summer when he was winning his Kickstarter campaign, and last week he was on Shark Tanks, and he won. So, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. And it's just me tonight, just the two of us. So, Jack, can you take us through the whole thing? First of all, briefly, what is Fish Call by Tactibite?
So, basically, it's an electronic fish attractor, and it helps you catch more fish.
That's it. Simple. It's like a big bobber that puts a pulse of noise out. My favorite sound I read about was the scared shrimp sound. I like that one the best.
Yeah, a lot of people like that one.
I think the name of it really sells it. So, but I really want to hear about the Shark Tank episode. First of all, how does one get on Shark Tank?
I'll tell you, it's a long process. I mean, basically, you start by applying for the show. You can either send an email to them with, you know, just kind of some info about yourself and your product, or some people attend open casting calls where you get a minute to pitch your product to one of the producers, I believe it is.
Oh my God.
And we just sent an email. We didn't go to the casting calls, although we have talked to people who have gone to the casting calls and gotten on the show, so that certainly can work as well.
That's amazing. And it must be like a huge amount of competition to get on the show. So tell me what it was like when you finally got picked and you got word on that you were cast.
Well, I mean, it's great, but honestly, you never really know what's going to happen because so first there are several cuts. I mean, 40,000 people apply for this show every year, and they only air about 120 of them. So, you know, it's a big cut down process, and every step of the way is another cut. So, you know, when you finally find out that you're airing, it's great, but there's still when you finally find out that you're filming, it's great, but you still may not air. You know, so it's until you see yourself on TV, you really don't know if you're going to air or not. You know, you could always get preempted or anything like that. They can move you. Wow. They can cancel you at the last minute. So it's, you know, we didn't know if it was going to happen or not until we actually, you know, saw ourselves walk out there on TV.
What was it like rehearsing? Did you have to like work with producers on your pitch, or did you already have that down before you walked in the door?
Pitch we had down, which is the first probably minute and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, we say, I'm Jack and I'm Jeff, and you know, our product is detected by Fish Call. All that we had down. But the rest of it is totally real. It's unscripted. You walk in there and the cameras are rolling until you walk out. There's no, oh, wait, let me say that again. You know, I didn't mean to say that like that. You know, it's real.
That's remarkable and so good. And it must have felt so good to get the offer at the end. Now, I thought Damon John was going to make the offer and you were going to go with him. Why didn't you take his offer?
You know, well, his offer was for twice the equity.
Oh, so he was taking more of your company.
Than Robert was. Yeah, he wanted 20%, and Robert offered us the same amount of money for 10%. So, I mean, the choice was pretty clear with that.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, does Robert fish?
Robert, I think he does fish a little bit. You know, I know that Damon is more of an avid fisherman, mm-hmm. But we are hoping to get out on a fishing trip with Robert at some point.
Now, does the whole thing kind of blow your mind a little bit?
What do you mean?
Like the fact that you took this product, you're 17 years old, from conception to Shark Tank, which in theory means huge success. What does that feel like?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's incredible. You know, I certainly did not expect it. Obviously, it was something that we were hoping for and kind of, you know, aiming towards, but you know, and so what are the chances that, you know, we're going to make something that, first of all, we can catch fish with. Then somebody, you know, the cool thing about it is we sell it, you know, our customers are catching fish with it. They're leaving great reviews. And then we go on Shark Tank and they like it too. You know, and we get a deal. So, you know, that whole thing is just, it's incredible. It's an incredible process.
Well, I mean, congratulations on your success. And tell me, what's it been like? I want to say at school, but you're homeschooled. So what's it been like walking around the halls of your home since winning Shark Tank?
You know, I've been kind of in the office a lot. I haven't gotten out much. We got a lot of orders to fulfill. Uh-huh. But I will tell you that I was eating lunch today at a restaurant, and the manager of the restaurant came over and was like, "You were on that show, weren't you?" I was like, "Yeah, I was."
Did he buy you lunch?
No.
Oh,
no.
Screw him.
We had already bought lunch there.
So. I mean, it's so cool. No, and it's
funny. Yesterday, my dad was catching a flight, and the Southwest attendant stopped him and was like, "Can I take a picture with you? I saw you on that show." But then she wanted to know where I was because I wasn't with them. So that was funny.
Because you're kind of the famous one of the two.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We were both on TV, so.
It's a pretty big deal. And I saw you posting pictures up online of the big party at your house. So your family must be really proud of you.
They are. It's great. You know, it's cool because the whole family does work on the business. Mm-hmm. You know, my older brother fulfills our orders. My mom's our CPA, and my younger brother helps out with our marketing and stuff like that. So it's really cool to see and for it all to come together.
That's cool. Now, are you the favorite son now?
I don't know, but they don't really pick favorite.
No, that, they're not telling you, but you are. So on Shark Tank, you win. Do you sell a ton of product over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's been great. We saw a huge spike in traffic on our site. You know, I looked one time and we had, on Friday night, we had like 5,000 people on our site at once, you know, that just in that moment. Mm-hmm. So it definitely peaked, Friday night and, you know, going into Saturday morning and then, you know, it stayed strong Saturday. Now it's kind of on the decline.
Of course.
You know, we have less, but we're still doing great. It's been great.
Oh, well, congratulations. Really cool. What's the next big thing?
I can't tell you that.
Top secret stuff, huh?
It is.
And what is Tactibite?
So Tactibite's our company name, you know, our brand name. So I know that we started out originally with just the Fish Call, and then we moved to the Fish Call by Tactibite. But, you know, now everything is just Tactibite Fish Call. So that's what we're going with now.
And that way you can diversify, you know, and sell more things.
Yeah, not that there's anybody else with the Fish Call, but yeah, exactly. So in case we want to sell the Tactibite, you know, bass lures or whatever it is. You know, we can kind of build off that brand.
Oh, it's amazing. Listen, I'm going to let you go because my connection's kind of funky. But, Jack, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people buy the fish call by Tactibite?
On our website, which is www.thefishcall.com. Just T-H-E, fishcall.com. And then we have also got a phone number on there if you'd want to call in and order instead of placing it online. And we are in a few retail stores, a few smaller ones. So we've got a page on our site where you can check those out if you've got one in your area.
Okay. And we'll put a link on fishnerds.com and a link to Jack's interview from last summer. Jack, thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, Fish Guy Josh. This month, month of October, we are having a special promotion to raise money for the National Breast Cancer Foundation. Have you heard this?
Love it.
Love it. Yeah. So we're trying to think, you know, for years, the Fishers do this stuff, and we try to think, what can we do that's bigger than us? And what's bigger than boobs? Nothing. Right? So we have a friend named Lindsay, who, if you listened to last week's show, she had breast cancer at 27 years old.
Mm.
And thanks to early detection, she was able to get, you know, pretty much cured, and she's going to have a good long life ahead of her. And so we decided month of October to go pink for breast cancer awareness and do a little fundraising for the National Breast Cancer Foundation. So if you go to our Facebook page and click on the event tab, there is a...
I am here right now.
You're there now, and you see a big pink Fish Nerds logo. And there will be, there isn't currently, but there will be a link there to the Breast Cancer Foundation website, to a team page. Make a donation there, and you get entered to win fabulous Fish Nerds prizes. We have pink,
what kind of prizes are we talking about?
Funny you should ask. We have pink Fish Nerds hats. We line cutters rings, who will be on... line cutters are these rings you wear that cut your fishing line. In fact, they're going to be on next week's show.
Like a ring? Like a ring you wear on your finger?
Yeah, you take your wedding ring off, put your fishing ring on, and you go fishing.
Nice.
Yeah, there's crazy cool ring. So we'll give some of those away. That'll be pink also, because pink's the theme. MaineTunaFishing.com, a shark and tuna fishing friends of ours out of Maine. Some hoodies will be given away. And the grand prize.
Sweet.
The grand prize will be a guided ice fishing trip with licensed fishing guide and chief executive fish nerd Clay Groves. That's me. I know. Can you imagine? It's a value of $300.
Fantastic.
Or if you're fishing with me, if you know me, it's a value of $12. Does not include lodging or airfare.
Oh, come now.
Yeah. You have to get yourself to New Hampshire, though. I can't help you with those things. Unless anyone wants to donate those prizes, we'll take them.
Yeah, if I win, I might have to donate.
Yeah, and I've decided to do two more things. If you share a picture of you catching a fish with something pink, either a fish pink bait or you're wearing pink clothing, I will, and you make a donation, I will double your name. So I'll put your name in the hat twice.
Nice.
And
well, I might have to make sure I have something pink this weekend.
Well, it gets even better than that, because if you are a Patreon supporter, which I know you are, Josh, you are already entered into this drawing, because I am going to give 50% of our Patreon funds for the month of October to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. And any new donors, I'm giving 100% of their first donation to the foundation. So we're giving away our only income stream for 1 month to this, and you also get to still be entered to the contest. You can either donate directly to the foundation, or you can donate through the Fish Nerds on Patreon and get in. I know it's a cheap ploy to get more support, but we really need the support. So that's what it is.
Awesome. That's very, very noble of you. My my grandmother was affected by breast cancer, so I love the whole idea. I love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, it's a funny cancer to be choosing, because there's so many other cancers that we could be doing. And we may, if you have a cause and you want us to help you with it, please let us know. We'll be happy to talk about it or support you. But the timing was right for us, and we like pink. So here we are. And I know I have friends who have suffered from this and other cancers that are curable, if you just detect them early. So the idea here is get detection early and then move on. So there we are.
This just in. We got a phone call from Maine. Our friend Richard called us, and he offered to throw a little bit more prize in the pile. So make a donation. Go to fishnerds.com, click on the donation button. It'll bring you over to the National Breast Cancer Foundation's website. Click right through there, make a donation. You're entered to win, and Richard has donated a fishing trip, a guided trip in the Penobscot River in Maine. So this is awesome.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rich Yvonne of Twin Maple Outdoors here in North Central Maine. Just like many of you, cancer has had a negative impact on our lives. Today, I'm sitting here grateful for the wonderful work that the National Breast Cancer Foundation has been doing. I'm honored to donate a smallmouth bass trip on the Penobscot River. If you win, it will be my pleasure to show you a great time fishing. Thanks to Clay and MaineTunaFishing.com for the opportunity to help with this awesome fundraiser. Hope to see you guys here donating and winning a trip with me, and I'd love to take you out. Thank you.
Let's talk about what fly fishermen can do while pooping. before I even read this article, this is a real thing, by the way. Before I read this article.
It's real.
It's a real thing. I'm in love with the title of it. This is a real thing. Fly fishermen are known to be uppity, and so once in a while, you'll get something that makes you remember that we are all the same. We're all fishermen. We all fish. And this is from a blog called The Wade, and I'll post links on our Facebook page and on our fishnerds.com. But the article title is Four Things Fly Anglers Can Do While They Poop. I haven't read it yet, so I'm going kind of blind into this. And I'm going to ask Josh, what do you do when you're pooping?
I usually, it depends, you know, if it's an emergency, I'm in and out as quick as I can.
Yep.
If it's in a public place, of course, short and sweet. And, figure out your house relaxing. There's a reason people have magazines in their bathroom.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was once driving out to the Connecticut River to go, ice fishing. About 3 years ago, during our quest to catch all the fish in New Hampshire. And it was about negative 20 degrees out with like 50 mile per hour winds. But just, I don't know, Josh, where are you? You're from Louisiana, right?
Yeah, Louisiana.
Yeah, so you don't know the kind of cold I'm talking of. But this is the kind of cold that would kill most people. But I was going to go fishing because I had time. And I'm driving out in this rural road and there's nothing for miles. And I have to go number two in a terrible way, the kind of way where you can't wait anymore. And we come across this, I come across this little gas station, self-serve gas station with an outhouse right there, Port-a-John. And so I run in as fast as I can, and I close the door, and it's so cold. It's unbelievably cold, but it's an outside thing. And the wind blows just right, and the door flies off and comes off the hinges. And so I'm sitting there on the toilet, pants down, in front of the highway, there's no door on the thing at all, and I'm midway through about to go fishing. And, man, I was so happy. I still completed the job. Yeah, so. And no one seemed to stop me.
You blew the doors off, huh?
The wind blew. It wasn't me. It was the wind. So. True story. Yeah. All right. But fly fishermen are a lot, they're a lot classier than I am. And by the way, we have a new fly fishing correspondent, Rich Collins.
Yes.
Who submitted this article to us, and he is determined to teach me to fly fish this year. So this is his article.
And I eagerly await this story of him teaching you, that is.
You know, I fly fished 2 days ago, and I caught a yellow perch.
Nice.
Yeah. And I got made fun of for it, but I still I landed a fish. So that's a win. All right.
I caught it, damn it.
Shut your pie hole. I caught a fish. All right. So number one.
Well, I,
go ahead.
I will preface this and say I did my due diligence as a co-host, and I have read through all of these articles.
Excellent. You are now winning.
I am ready to go.
All right. So, number one, recommendation is watch a short film. And the question I would ask you, Josh, is what movie would you watch while dropping a deuce? I should say, too, my wife hates the phrase dropping a deuce.
I guess if we're talking about fishing videos, which he is in this article, I guess it would be only fitting to maybe watch some sort of video about fishing for catfish with stink bait, maybe?
Stink bait would be really a good choice. I would watch Fishing with John. Have you seen Fishing with John?
No, I have not seen Fishing with John.
Well, I recommend Google it. It's really good.
I'm writing it down right now.
Yeah, it's actually a real TV show called Fishing with John, and this guy, his folks named John, fishes with like famous people like Willem Dafoe. In fact, he killed Willem Dafoe on an ice fishing trip once. So, I recommend that if you got 22 minutes to drop one. Now,
that's also the other thing. How long do you want to be in there?
How long do I want to be, or how long am I allowed to be?
Probably a little bit of both.
If you're at work, you probably got 45 minutes to an hour. If you're at home and you have kids, you got 8 seconds. So it all depends on if I'm getting paid to do it or not. If I'm getting paid, it's an hour. So those are recommendations. Those are both very good recommendations. I like the stink bait concept. thing number two, you can tie flies. Do you tie flies?
I do not tie flies. I would like to tie. The most interesting part of fly fishing to me actually is tying the flies.
Me too.
And it's one of those things that I just haven't got around to trying yet, but I do. It's sort of on the short list of hobbies I'd like to give a try to. I don't know about tying them in the bathroom.
Well, there's so much can go wrong. So much can go wrong. But if you need hackle, you're there. That was just disgusting. I'm going to move past this.
He did say in the article that this one is the most inventive of his four things that he wrote down. And he mentions different ways you can utilize like the folding bathroom mirror to hold your vice and things like that. I think if you maybe found an old dentist chair on Craigslist or something, I think you could relax there.
That would work great. Would you convert that dentist chair into a toilet? I don't understand.
No, I think you would. I think your best bet is to utilize all those extendable arm tables that fold off of the dentist chair to hold the tools and equipment, and then somehow mount that to either your cabinet next to your toilet or something like that, I think.
Okay, I was imagining a whole new design for just a more comfortable...
When I read it, I definitely had... I thought.
You can just picture all these just like accoutrements just coming in on these swing arms.
I mean, if you want to go all out... Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
I'd start just at a desk first before I try tying flies in the toilet.
I would say be level expert before you on the fly. That's too much. It's too much.
He mentions a lot of funny things about watching where you drop hooks and stuff like that. So yeah.
No, he's right.
I'll wait till I master it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't see flying ties in the toilet to be a thing unless I'm in a real hurry. So I have tied one fly that's caught fish. So I have gone from zero to fishing, but it wasn't really tying a fly so much as tying a piece of green string to a hook. But it worked.
Yeah,
best fly ever. Number three, learn a new skill. Learn a new skill. All right, let's see. Like I mentioned before, I've accepted the fact that most people reading my life's work do so on the can. I'm honored. Fly fishing blogs, magazines, and books are a great way to better understand a new skill before you attempt it in the field. So what skills would you learn do you want to learn while incapacitated?
Well, I think, you know, reading what he's saying here, it ties into watching more videos or reading more books. But if we're sticking with the fish theme, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I've probably learned a lot about honing my carp fishing skills while waiting to be finished, let's say.
You know, I've done the same thing, and I do a lot of planning from the toilet seat. I spend a lot of time on Navionics while I'm in the bathroom. It's not on here at all, but Navionics is a depth chart of lakes around the world, and I will just look at a lake and decide where fish might live. And I'll plot out where I'm going to fish. In fact, I even go so far as to plot out fish where I don't live. So I'll pick a place in the world like Lake Placid, New York, where I've never been, and I'll look at the depth charts and decide, if I was there, where would I fish? That's my favorite toilet game. It's terribly nerdy.
Plus, it keeps your fishing guide skills up to date, too.
It is, which, by the way, my fishing guide skills are about at zero. I've never guided to this day. I'm licensed, but I haven't guided yet, so I have no skills.
You're a whiz.
Yeah. You know what I should do is next time I'm on the can, I'm going to podcast live with Luke in Australia while he's on the can, and then we'll have toilet races and we'll see who flushes faster and it does clockwise or counterclockwise go down.
Yeah,
faster.
There we go.
Yeah, so that's what we'll do next time. Oh, hey, which brings us right into the fourth thing. I guess there's only four things you can do while pooping. You can plan your next fishing trip, which I guess is what I've been talking about doing on Navionics.
Well, yeah. You are essentially doing number three and while doing number two.
I was doing number three, number four while doing number two. So, So you were talking about carp fishing while you're on the John. I'm trying to think, when you're planning a fishing trip, how much planning do you do versus how much just daydreaming about it do you do? Is there a difference?
I think it's more daydreaming than actually planning. I'm sort of a last minute planning guy I just envision the trip for a while, and then day or two before, then I'm really just focusing on packing gear. But a lot of that's like camping and stuff like that too, more than what I'm doing.
So you think about packing while you're unpacking.
Exactly.
I win.
I'm packing while unpacking, and you're three and fouring while you're number two.
Perfect. That's it. What else can you say about that? I'm telling you, the genius thing about this article is nothing in the article at all. The genius of this article is the title and the shareability of it. I think we at the Fishers start writing articles like that.
I mean, essentially, number one, number three, and number four all involve reading or video.
Yeah. The only
and
thing that's
number two is essentially the comedic lines of, you know, don't drop the hooks while tying flies on the toilet.
Right. The only action item there, the only physical thing you do is tying flies. Now, I'd be way more impressed if there were all four physical things you can do, you know. So let's kind of rephrase this. Let's think about three other things you can physically do that aren't watching TV and reading, because we all do that while in the toilet. What are things you can actually do for fishing? I don't care if it's fly fishing or not, while you're on the potty. Any ideas?
For fishing, huh? I guess you could, if your bathroom's big enough, spool a reel.
You can practice your cast.
Maybe.
So I like your spool of reel. I would practice casting. I would, you know how some people golf on the potty? You could put like a trash can across the room
you
and
could,
try to cast
organize
right away.
Your tackle.
I've done that.
Organize your tackle box.
Love that. So there are three real things you can do. All right, so we're going to find the same article and steal the title, and then, of course, we'll cite them. Unlike Snopes, we will give them credit for the title. Bastards. So we're spending the next few months, every show, we're going to have a Patreon supporter on the show to talk about why they support the Fish Nerds and why it's important to pay for your entertainment. So, hey, Fish Guy Josh, you're a Patreon. You're a Patreon supporter. Why do you give us your dollar?
Because I am a fish nerd, and I want to hear other fish nerds talking about fish nerdy stuff. So long before I was a correspondent, I was definitely more than willing to pay a buck an episode to hear some entertaining guys talk about fishy stuff. So, I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, you know, we're talking, what, $4 a month?
$4
to help keep a show that you love going.
Exactly. I wasted $4 today on a coffee and a cookie. You know,
I hear you.
It's not a big deal, but to us, it's a huge deal. If everyone who listened to this show gave us $4 a month, we would never need to have advertisers. In fact, I would prefer not to have advertisers. I don't even know how to deal with it.
Don't want to be debted to anyone, right?
Well, you know, I want to be able to make fun of everybody. And one of the Fish Nerds, everything is fair game. And if people are paying us to support their product, we can't make fun of their product. So I'd much rather just be paid by our listeners.
Fair game.
Yeah.
Open parentheses, except our sponsors.
Yeah. Oh, that actually, to be honest though, we are starting to pitch sponsors. When I say we, I mean I am starting to pitch sponsors. And my deal with them is going to be, you have to accept us how we are. Like, I will not edit myself
definitely
for a sponsor, because we have to stay true to what we do. And I am a terrible actor, so I need to make sure that we're being honest. All right, moving on. So anyway,
if you want to support Patreon,
yeah.
Love it. Do it.
We love it. And if you want to support the Fish Nerds, go to patreon.com/fishnerds and give us a freaking dollar. A dollar. That's all we're talking about. So do it.
Do it.
All right. Fish in the news.
I mean, Clay loves fish in the news.
I do love fish in the news. No, I love it less now. I love it a lot less now. All right. Headline: man loses head of penis in fishing accident. Not while he's on the potty, though.
Oh my God! I read all of these articles, and this one did not sit well with me.
Okay, I'll just read it.
Articles there. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, okay. A Massachusetts man may have some reservations about the Maine state slogan, Vacation Land. Thomas Rule of Taunton, Massachusetts, had to prematurely end his week-long trip to a lake in Maine after getting caught in a bloody mess. A freak fishing accident caused Rule to rip off the head of his penis. I don't think I've ever said that sentence before. Rip off the head of your penis. According to Rule, he and his girlfriend, Miranda Tate, were fishing when her line became entangled in the weeds and branches. And after whining and tugging, she was unsuccessful at freeing it. This is a quote now. She threw her pole down in a huff, demanding to leave, and in an attempt to salvage the evening, I went in after the hook. I now wish I had thought to reel in my own line, said Rule. After stripping down to my box shorts, I waded over to where the line was tangled, and I didn't notice that my line had drifted closer, and my hook was resting on the crotch of my shorts. God, I should have pre-read this article before I put it up. Getting frustrated with the tangle, Rule pulled on the wrong line and felt the hook stab into the head of his penis. By the way, this is why I'm a never nude, just for the record. As soon as you feel that, anything, you stop all action. No movement happens.
Immediately.
There's no keeping tugging. There's no seeing what's going to happen next. You just freeze. So let's see what he did. I honestly thought something bit me, like a snapping turtle or something, and I sort of yanked the line at a reflex, and it dragged the barbs deeper in. said Rule. It wasn't until I reached down that I knew what happened. After screaming and pleading with his girlfriend, who thought he was overreacting, she reluctantly entered the water to bring him his knife, and he was able to cut himself free. By the way, just as a sidebar, how long before, I mean, like, how do you call the newspaper after this? Like, at any point, do you think, you know what I need to do? I need some press. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, people don't think, huh, I hurt my wang. I'm calling the newspaper.
The world needs to know.
Everyone, you know. I wonder if he thinks he's, like, doing the world a favor by, like, warning them. Like, this is his community service is talking about his wang. So...
There's so many things wrong with this article.
Everything wrong with it. First of all, the fact that it exists is crazy. Kokajo is a small village past Moosehead, which, by the way, I love. Moosehead Lake in northern Maine, centered around a general store that was closed for the evening. Without cell service, the couple was unable to call for help. Carl Rogers, a gas station attendant in Greenville, Maine, was shocked when the couple sped into his parking lot. Now, Greenville, Maine is on Moosehead Lake. So this article is a little bit off on what's what here. That's where I stay when I go to Moosehead.
Okay.
Apparently, in a panic, the guy's...
There's a lot off with this article.
Yeah. Apparently, in a panic, the guy's girlfriend sped towards town, and by the time they reached my station, the dude had gone into shock. Of course he was in shock. I saw their new Prius when they pulled in, and man, I never seen so much blood in my life. And it soaked right through the passenger seat. We called 911, and they airlifted him to Bangor right out of the parking lot here. Wow. Now, at this point, if I'm a reporter, I'm done with this story. You don't need more stuff. But it goes on, because it's your lucky day. Dr. Mark Gerard, a surgeon in Bangor Medical Center, said he had never seen anything so violent happen to a man who was fishing. Right. By the way, if you have seen more violent things about fishing than this, you can call 607-378-FISH and leave us a voicemail and share that with us. His effort to free himself did more harm than good, and he will require plastic surgery to regain full functionality of his penis. How much we can do to restore a normal shape will really depend on what type of insurance he has. Do you buy special, like, insurance for this? Like, what doctor would say, well, like, what kind of insurance do you have? I'm sorry.
Yes.
God.
Yeah, I love that line.
Oh, my God.
How much you had on this?
In the meantime, we've warned him not to think of anything sexual that might excite him.
Even the next one.
Is this real? I'm starting to wonder if this is a fake article. It's a terrible, terrible article. Of course, we'll have a link to that article up on our at fishnerds.com, and you can read all about what can happen if you take your pants off and why you should never, ever take your pants off again. Ever.
Yeah. Good luck reading this article.
All right. And next article, speaking of penises, coral reefs flourish thanks to fish pee. You see, they're all related, Josh.
I see.
Yeah, and by the way, I put this up for you because I know you know about this kind of stuff. Getting peed on is a good thing, at least for coral reefs, scientists have found. When fish let loose, they release phosphorus into the water, and this combined with nitrogen excreted from their gills is crucial for coral reef survival and growth, according to recent studies. Do you know anything about this already?
I have not read about this prior to this article. Okay. It was an interesting read.
Well, feel free to share stuff. You know more about this world than I do. You're a diver, right?
Yeah. And yeah, definitely love diving.
You definitely love diving, and so you've seen things, and I have not. So, all right. Now, new research shows just how much this fishy waste matters. When scientists studied areas with heavy fishing, they found that almost half of the key nutrients needed to maintain a healthy reef ecosystem were missing. So when you think of overfishing, you never think about what happens when there's less fish waste in the water. So this is kind of a new reason to be very careful how you overfish. I would, in a million years, never have come up with this.
No, it's interesting. I will say that reading the article, it's not the sole reason that a reef is in trouble is overfishing and now fish aren't peeing anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the main problem. Yeah.
Now, can we help by peeing off our boats?
I don't. I think that would really be based on how much phosphorus we have in our pee.
And how much phosphorus is in your pee?
I have no idea.
Well, time.
That's why I study fish instead of my pee.
Yeah, good idea.
It was interesting. He talked in the article about how he went about the study, and they put fish in plastic bags mm-hmm. that they collected and measured the amount of phosphorus and nitrogen that was excreted into the water. Which is a neat way to make that measurement. However, I don't know if the fish are if they're secreting more or less than they normally would. So I don't know how accurate that is. But
let's imagine you're a fish in a plastic bag, and you have to pee really bad. And you're thinking, you're swimming around in circles. And you're going, oh God, I gotta pee, I gotta pee, I gotta pee, I gotta pee. And you're in a small, I got 1 pint of water. I'm not going to pee in the water. I'm not going to, I got to pee, I got to pee, I got to pee, I got to pee. All right, fine, I'm going to pee. And you pee, you're like, oh, I feel better. Oh, no, I'm swimming in pee. Ah.
Exactly.
It's terrible. I imagine like.
Exactly.
Like if you're ever a prisoner, like on a spaceship in a little cell with no bathroom, you go through the same thing. Like, oh God, I got to pee. Like exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I read this, all I could think about is that poor fish, which is, I know, it's silly.
Peeing in his own little pool.
Yep, I'm in my own pool of pee. It's like peeing in the bathtub. Great idea when you're 6, yeah. But when you're 43, it's very bad. Or at least you don't talk about it anymore. So, but essentially, they did all this experimentation. They found out that pee actually adds value to the reef.
The pee and the nitrogen from our gills apparently is recycled back into the corals, and I guess the fish hiding in the reef throughout the day or night, depending on when they're hunting. Essentially says they sit there on the reef hiding and pee, and the pee goes back into the reef.
do you think there's something around going, oh, warm spot? That's it. I'm out of here.
Moving along
now. All right, not as much fun as the other story, but there it is. So that's fish in the news. So that's it. You've listened to a couple of fish nerds when you could have been fishing.
We'd like to thank our families for supporting us while we podcast, go on fishing quests, and do all sorts of silly things that fish guys do. If you'd like to support Fish Nerds, you can go to patreon.com and search for Fish Nerds and help us crowdfund this podcast.
Special thanks to Jack Danos from the Fish Call, and of course, Fish Guy Josh. You can find him everywhere at Fish Guy Josh, especially YouTube. Don't miss out on that YouTube channel. Hang on, Josh.
Until next time, follow the code of the Fish Nerds. Spawn early and often.
Avoid free lunches with strings attached.
And swim against the current
every chance you get. Perfect. That's all we need.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.